And that was the kind of attitude we pick up. And what Paul said is true. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And Paul is saying that while in the world, the training of knowledge and education and the mind is developed, yet in God, the mind of Christ, as we develop more and more to have the mind of Christ, it's a different mind. Point three is a mind that causes you to have a servant-like attitude. The mind of Christ is a servant-like mind. It's a mind looking for service. Number four, and coming in the likeness of man. Yet it is a mind that is at the level of humanity. We could understand that person. They're not too far out. See, what do we mean by that? Have you ever heard a student coming out and a graduate coming out and their language is different? Have you heard of the claustrophobic and most unhygienic and genetic revolution that has come to transform and diversify and classify, reclassification of the cultural, contextual way of presentation? And everybody asks, what in the world is he talking about? Right? So, that, and after some time, they realize that they are the only ones in the world. And they're going one direction, the world is going the other direction. And when a person graduates, they realize that's not practical. Which is why in training school and when we are talking about Bible colleges or seminary, the most important thing is to make it practical. And as a result, sometimes when a person graduates, whether out of school, whether it be an engineering school coming out to be an engineer or architectural school coming out to be an architect, or a theological school coming out to be a pastor, the most important thing when we come out is, can we meet the needs of the society or meet the needs of people? That's the most important consideration. And supposing that we could stand in the pulpit and we could quote every Hebrew and Greek word and read it backwards. But the congregation is starving by Hebrews. And we cannot minister to them. It's no point. We are not running down those things. Believe me, if you have associated with us, you know how much we emphasize on studying the word and all these things. But when it comes to preaching, we have to talk at the people's level. We have to use words that people understand. We have to be deep, no doubt, but we have to retain a simplicity. Jesus, when he came down to preach, remember, he's the best preacher in the world. He talked about a farmer going out to plant seeds. And even the theological significance of that parable is still not fully understood today. And Jesus, when he sent his disciples out, he talked about being fishers of men. Terms that could be so easily understood even by the least educated people. It's so easy to understand. And the whole bunch of his disciples, the majority of them are not educated. And he has to come down right to that level. That's what we mean by in the likeness of man, in the language, in the way that man could identify. So that having the mind of Christ is not having such ability that you speak in a humanly unknown tongue. Right? We just don't understand. We are all using Webster's and Oxford and you're using something else. That's point four, in the likeness of man. That's the mind of Christ. Something that is still identifiable. Number five, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. That's number five. It is a mind. Number five, he humbled himself. Number six, he became obedient. Number seven, up to the death on the cross. Now, these are all worthy of further study, but Here in chapter 2 is where we find the mind of Christ, and it's described how we're going to receive that mind and how the mind will come about. We just got to quote and reference to Romans chapter 1 for a moment. The book of Romans chapter 1. To see the opposite formation of a human mind that doesn't know God. In Romans 1, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Then reading on in chapter 1, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, talking about human beings who did not seek God, God gave them over to a debased mind or reprobate mind. A mind that is still intelligent, still human and resourceful, but it's a different kind of mind. We need to take note of what qualities God has given the mind. You see, there is something else working our mind than what we think. The mind and the human brain is not just capable like a computer, able to analyze and anything. Even a computer can only do what you program it to do. You could have the most powerful computers and you put in a real lousy software, it wouldn't run the way you want it. It's the software that actually in the end makes the computer able to do all those things that a computer is supposed to do. And they have the term GIGO, which means the garbage in, garbage out. You could use the same computer to do different things, depending on how you program it. So in the same way, the human mind has a certain quality that when it is set to the wrong direction or wrong angle, for example, if your mind is fully convinced, how you got convinced is another matter, but you are fully convinced that you can never make it in life. Perhaps you came from a very poor background and you're struggling to have your education and you couldn't pay for your own education. Or perhaps it could be another area where you came from a poor background and you hardly make ends meet and you could hardly afford a HDB. So you're convinced through some situations or other. You became convinced that you cannot buy it or you cannot get yourself the education because you can't afford it. The moment you are convinced, your mind gives you 10 reasons why you can't. Your mind has the ability to churn out what you program it for. It will tell you, oh, you can't do it because you can't afford it. Because you got 3 mouths to feed. Because you got no uncles that are rich. Because you don't know anyone who can sponsor you. Because your results are just average. You can't beat those above average. You get all the scholarships. So your mind turns out 10 or more reasons. All because you were convinced. But I'll guarantee you, if there could be another person in the same situation, who doesn't know the other guy and who is fully convinced that they can do it. And because they are convinced that they could do it and believe it, something happens to the mind. The mind gives them and churns out 10 reasons how they can do it. And so that person doesn't have any uncles or aunts. But perhaps the mind says, well, you can do it. But he says, there's no way. I don't know how I can do it. And the mind says, why not look at the different ways you could study? Perhaps you could work and pay your way. Perhaps you could go for night classes.
So the mind begins to think of the ideas that follow what it decides to do. It's a way of showing how God says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, man's mind, there's something else moving the mind. There's something else moving the computer, the software. So there's something else. The something else is what we're talking about. That is the initiator that turns and causes the mind to begin to function in a certain manner. When man decided, in Romans chapter 1 verse 28, when man decided he doesn't want God, that's in verse 28 of Romans 1. It says, when they did not want to have God in their image, or in their mind, in their thinking, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Let me show some examples of what it's like. The theory of evolution is still a theory, but it's taught as if it's a fact in all schools. And the funny thing is, why do people believe it like a fact? And the reason, or you may have heard about the Cro-Magnon man, right? In the end, it turned out to be a hoax. Why is it? It is like when man choose not to believe in God, there was a vacuum to explain how we are here, why we are here. The moment you got any theory possible that could fill that vacuum so that they don't need God, it will be taken. Now, I brought back from Australia a whole series of research, it's on videos, by Creation Science, and they interview not just Christians, but also non-Christians, scientists who did not believe in evolution, but believe that there was a creator. And a lot of those facts that they show, it's not just a biblical movie, but the facts they show, that a lot of people could draw the Neanderthal man, but they didn't know it's just one little piece of skull. Everybody takes for granted that all the bones were found. There are a lot of all these inconsistencies that when you go deeper into it, and we don't have time here because we're not talking about those areas, but it's a whole area that has not been fully researched, and we accept it as a fact. The missing link is still missing. And we know the history of that area of science, that there are many, many attempts to force the evidence to show a missing link. We know the story of Cro-Magnon man and a few other things, and even the Peking man was a few bones here and there that put together, and there were a few cases of wrongly diagnosed things. And there's a case of how there was a human skull that was joined to an ape's jawbone. Just because it was found together, 1 + 1 is the same. It just because it came from the same cave, it was put together. It could have been that there was a human guy there who loved monkeys. Ate it, and that piece of bone was there, and in the end, somehow through time, they were found together. I mean, if Jesus tarries and we live for another 1,000 years, which we probably won't, but supposedly 1,000 years pass by, and if I live in a place with full of monkeys and then get buried there, and through the time the graveyard is gone and overgrown and everything is gone, and the bones somehow decay, and somebody digs out my skull, and the jawbone has disappeared, and then finds a little monkey there because I kept a monkey as a pet, and puts it together and comes up with a new image out there. Now, just to assure people here that this full area is, I have actually researched it and I'm trying to come up with some written articles on that area. Also to show for how little research that people don't realize that the theory of evolution is still a theory. But people accept it as a fact and argue it as a fact until you ask for the evidence. And that was, I brought back about 6, 7, 8 videos from creation science, and they went and they said, okay, let's not argue, let's look at the actual facts. Where are the facts? Okay, you say, Neanderthal man. Okay, Neanderthal man. What is the Neanderthal man? What are the facts? Where are they stored? Where are the fossils?